Good morning, First Baptist Malden. Let's try it again. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Listen, we have come to the point in our service where it's time for moments of prayer. And our moderator has already shared a few prayer requests, but there may be others in the congregation today. So I do want to allow for just a few moments for all other prayer requests to be shared. Whenever I come into the house of the Lord, I'm always excited because I know that prayer changes things. I know that whatever it is that's going on and whatever is availing and afflicting, God can turn it around. And so I'm always excited when I get an opportunity to pray for others and to help uplift somebody else. And because I believe that the church is a clinic, this is a time when we can bring our requests and our petitions and just believe God with just the size of a mustard seed for him to do miraculous things. Now, if you really read the words as you were singing, "Great is thy faithfulness," God is great. He is always faithful, and every day that we wake up, he is faithful to his promise and to his provision. Listen, will you do me a favor? Will you just turn to the person who's sitting directly next to you? And if you're sitting across the aisle from somebody, if you will connect eyeball to eyeball with them and just reaffirm in your spirit that there is nothing too hard for God. Just tell him like you mean it. There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day for life, health, and strength. God, we thank you for every affordance that you've given us, every liberty, every opportunity. God, we thank you for just the ability to come into your house and just to worship you and to give you honor, glory, and praise. God, we ask that you look on us, and if there's anything that's in us that shouldn't be, remove it, for we need it not. God, we thank you for just coming through the doors this morning, and we ask that you just make your way up and down our aisles and across the pews, and God, that you bless our neighbors, that you bless our families, that you bless our loved ones. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for just your provision. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And so, God, you've heard the prayer request this morning. You've heard prayer request of healing and deliverance. And, God, we believe you to do it. You affirm in your word that you are the Lord God of all flesh. And you ask the question, is there anything too hard for me? And so, God, we declare and decree this morning that there is nothing too hard for you. God, we ask that you just saturate this service with a well-fed and balanced meal. And, God, that as we move out of this place, that we return to our homes with miracles abounding, Father God, that you prove your faithfulness, God, that you show us new mercies. And we thank you, God, for just what you're going to do in the next hour. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for the manifestations. We thank you for the healing that you're going to give. We thank you for what you've already done, God. We thank you for the abundance and the blessings that you bestowed upon us. And so, God, touch every single person from the top of their head to the bottom of the soles of their feet. Father God, touch their households. Touch their employee, touch their health, God. Touch everything that their hands do to your honor, glory, and praise. And so, God, we thank you where we just come into with a spirit of thanksgiving and worship for just your awesomeness, God. And so, God, as we continue with the service, just help us to raise the praise and to raise our faith levels and just our worship levels, God, because we know that the blessings are abounding in our lives. And so, God, we give you all of the glory, the honor, and the abundant praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now just turn to your neighbor and affirm again, it is done. So normally, I include my scripture when I get up to give the message. But I'm going to combine the two, if you all don't mind. I certainly want to say good morning again to each of you. And what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. And I wonder if you will help me give a testimony this morning. And again, would you, I'm an interactive person, and so I want you to talk to your neighbor. But I want you to, again, look to the person on your left and right that's on your pew and just affirm to them and say to them, he is a lifter of my head. He is a lifter of my head. So, you know, I know that the pandemic has been challenging, but he is a lifter of our heads. I know that there is trouble all around us, but He is a lifter of our heads. So will you just affirm that to your neighbor this morning, that he is a lifter of our heads? Listen, your job may be on shaky ground this morning, but he is a lifter of our heads. Your health may not be perfect, but he is a lifter of our heads. Your finances may be limited, but he is a lifter of our heads. And because he's a lifter, I call his name Wonderful. There are a lot of things that I couldn't do for myself, but he did them for me. And so I'm just affirming this morning that he's wonderful. And Isaiah said, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Will you just holler out with me this morning and say, Wonderful? May this week be wonderful for you. May the remainder of this year be wonderful. May your entire life be wonderful. I don't mean to push the point this morning, but I just get excited when I think about how wonderful God is. And I believe that any time we come into God's house, it ought to be to start by telling God how great and how wonderful he is. So I want to thank you for the invitation to join First Baptist Malden today. And I'm so honored that you thought of me out of all the ministers that you could have invited. I certainly want to be appreciative of the warm welcome. I was told almost immediately when I walked in this morning how young I looked, and that just spurred my motivation for today. Pray with me this morning. And if you're sitting directly next to someone, I'd like you to reach out and grab their hands if you feel comfortable doing so. And if you're sitting by yourself, just kind of lift your hands a little bit, if you will. I'm not going to be before you long, but I just believe in just setting the atmosphere for God to just do miraculous things in each of our lives. Father God, we thank you for just another day. We thank you for the person who's sitting next to us this morning. And for those who are sitting siloed, I ask that you would just think of someone's name who needs God this morning, needs his covering, needs his provision, needs his guidance. And as you were sitting, just begin to agree with me for a restoration of hope and faith and a connection with God. So God, for the person whose hand I hold and for the person who I'm thinking about, I thank you and give you praise. I thank you that after all they've been through, they're still sane, that they're still in their right frame of mind, that they still have hope and that they still have joy. Thank you, God, for watching over my neighbor's life, and I pray for them now. Oh, God, not knowing what they're going through, but I know that since they are alive, they're going through something. So I ask you now to love them and then lift them, comfort them and then change them, help them and then heal them, so their lives will change forevermore. I'm in agreement with my neighbor, and as I squeeze their hand, just to let them know that I'm believing that the worst is now behind them and the best is yet to come. And so now we give you praise, God. And when we see you bless our neighbors, we thank you that we've grown to a point where we understand that we're connected to them and they are connected to us. So when you bless them, you're really blessing us. And when you bless us, you're really blessing them. So bless my neighbor, and I'll give you praise, God. Prepare their lives for your word, that the seeds of faith find depth and that it might bring forth a harvest in their lives. In the name of Jesus, somebody who loves him, shout amen. I pray during my time with you this morning that you leave here different than how you walked in the door. I pray that you leave healed, helped, blessed, strengthened, and fortified. I know that my bio is in the program, but I want to give you a few facts that my bio doesn't reveal. I'm a former pastor. Not a former pastor in residence, but I pastored a church before I came to Massachusetts. And in fact, I was a district superintendent with responsibility over churches other than my own. So now you're wondering why I left. Well, very simple. I was driving down the street one day, and there was a leading that fell into my spirit to apply to Harvard. Let me put a sidebar there because I will tell you that the secular job that I was working at the time, I was leading a partnership with Harvard. And while I was at Harvard during one of my visits, I got connected with a few deans who later asked, would you consider attending as a student? And I thought, I already have a PhD. Why do I need another? So I'm driving down Highway 59 because I was living in Houston, Texas at the time. And there was something that fell into my spirit, God's leading, that said apply. And I did like most of us do. I doubted that that was something that I actually heard. In fact, I said, not only do I not need to apply, but I doubt if I can even get in. And so you know how something gets on the inside of you such that you're thinking about it for most of the day thereafter? It's the thing that disrupts your sleep. It's the thing that you feel on the inside that you've been called to do. And so I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but this thing started gnawing at me. And I was really going to dismiss it because I thought it was just a passing, fleeting thought. And so I followed the leading, applied to Harvard. I got accepted. I went. But in so doing, I learned firsthand what it was like to put a church in anxiety status. Because my leaving made the church anxious because now a new pastor had to be selected and brought in. I was disrupting and changing what had become comfortable. And for a moment, after I gave my announcement, I felt a little anxious myself because I thought, what is it that I'm doing to this congregation? What is this gap that I have created? And not just with my local church, but with the other churches in my region. But I felt God just saying, go. And I have preached countless sermons on following the leading of God. I didn't even plan to apply. That wasn't even on my radar months before. But my departure, it created change. The congregation was anxious. I was anxious. And so I know what it's like to be in the middle of a pastoral search. And I know what kind of anxiety that can create. That's sort of what I want to talk about today, how to combat the anxiety and also how to get over the humps in life and get to your place of provision. You heard me reference one of my favorite scriptures a little earlier, where God makes a statement, I am the Lord God of all flesh, and then he asks, is there anything too hard for me? And I declare and decree that there is nothing that's too hard for God. I believe that God has a special place for each of us. Regardless, it doesn't matter your age, your experience, your background, we all have a place of greatness with our name on it. But the problem is that many of us, and many Christians collectively, never experience it because they don't know the strategies. So if you will, journey with me for a few minutes. I remember a song that was sung by the senior choir in the church where I grew up. And it went something like this. If you get there before I do, tell my friends I'm coming too. I won't be long in my press. God will give me eternal rest. And if you know the song, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me right now. It kind of went to that tune. I struggled when I heard the words to that song on most Sundays, because it was like we were just sitting back waiting to die. A hopelessness, a depressing depiction of faith, because all of our hope was in heaven and nothing on this present life right now. But David said, I would have fainted if I failed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So it is my prayer that in the next 2 weeks, I may share a few strategies that may be helpful in your spiritual journey in the land of the living. Let's go to the book of the Lord. If you will just stand with me I have a very brief passage this morning, but to the book of Proverbs that is recorded in the Old Testament. Going to the 30th chapter of Proverbs, verses 24 and 27. And I'm going to ask, if you will just stand with me for the reading of God's word. This morning I am reading from the Message translation. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 and 27, just those two passages. On the earth, four things are small, but very wise. Locusts, who have no king, but march like an army. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. You may be seated. So this is what Moses said to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 10 for refusing to let the children of Israel go. That the locusts would cover the country and the people would not see the ground. Seeing the locusts is what would cause people fear in Eastern civilizations, when they would look up and see them coming. In fact, they were more afraid of the locusts than they were being attacked by their enemies. Because when the locusts came into a city, they would turn it upside down. See, in fact, they would destroy kingdoms, empires, crops, livestock, because everything died when the locusts came to town. And the Bible reads that we must heed the voice of the locusts, for there is something that the locusts know that God wants us to know. And if you ever happen to operate like the locusts, then no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. If you ever begin to think like the locusts, then I really believe that you can get everything that God promised in his word. So here are three things I'm going to share that I think we need to know. Number one, a locust never does anything by themselves. Locusts come in a swarm, which means they come together. And if we're all going to get what God has for us, we must operate together. The Bible reads that when the locusts came, they blackened out the sun, and the sky was dark. And the people tried to build a defense, but there is nothing that you can do when the locusts come to town. And that is what the enemy tries to do, to build a defense to keep you from destroying what he has put in place. But when the locusts get together, that they can do damage to a city. If you built a wall, they would come across it. If they fly into the wall, they would trickle down until they found a creek and come through that. If they got into one window or one door, they'd eat up everything. The locusts would hit a city so hard that afterwards it would look like the city was on fire. There'd be nothing green left when the locusts came, because the locusts come to a city hungry. That's why you have to surround yourself with hungry people. You have to run with people who are hungry for life and have an appetite for God. You can't run with mediocre people, because they will cause you to miss out on what God has for you. See, when you hang around the right group of people, that will stop jealousy. Because hungry people are so busy eating what's in front of them, then they don't mind you eating what's in front of you. The locusts only travel with like species. Those who have great appetites. And so when I talk about great appetites, I mean people who want the best out of life. The locusts can turn a city upside down. And if it happens in the spirit, it can turn a city upside down. If two hungry saints of God get into the school, get into the office, get into the community, then they can turn that place upside down. If you and your neighbor start praying in your community, you can devour the neighborhoods. If you can find anybody in your house to touch and agree with you, you can devour anything that the enemy is trying to do in your home. But you've got to hear the voice of the locusts. In this day, you have to help someone help you to get what God has for you. And some of us have issues letting people in and letting them close to us. We don't want to talk to anybody. We don't want to open up to anybody. But the locusts teach us that at some point we're going to need some help to get to our next levels in God. It is not enough for me to stand here and tell you, you need some help, and just leave it there. But you have to surround yourself intentionally with people that will help you. Let me tell you what you can expect when you and I work together. Number one, we share the rewards of labor and prosperity. Number two, when one of us falls, the other one is there to pick the other up. And number three, when we stand together, we can defeat our greatest enemy. I was reading a text where the people tried to burn the locusts to prevent them from coming into the city. And in the Hebrew version of this text, it reads that the locusts are the insects that cannot be numbered. They come in such a swarm that even when the people tried to set the locusts on fire, the first few would die to put the fire out so that the rest of them could cross over. And when I read about the first one dying so that the rest of them could cross over, I thought about Jesus, for the enemy lit a fire and he died so that you and I could cross over. There is no reason that any of us should walk defeated, talk defeated, and live defeated. Jesus died so that we could all cross over and experience greater levels. Jesus died so that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The locusts are unstoppable. So the first lesson of the locusts is this: if you can't get through the door, then go through the window. And if you can't go through the window, climb down through the gutter. If you can't get in from under the gutter, then come in from under the porch. The locust teaches us to keep on pushing. So no matter what barriers are in your way this morning, whether they're individual or collective, the lesson from the locusts is to keep on pushing. Now, the locusts aren't big, but they are relentless. They are relentless in the spirit, and I believe that as people of God, we've got to be relentless in our spirits to get the promises of God. Things might not be going well today for you, or for your loved ones, or for your colleagues, or for your associates. But I'm here to tell you today that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You might be experiencing aches and pains in your body, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You might not be able to get through the window or the door this morning, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Your household might be dealing with some challenges, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The Bible teaches us that the locust is not like the bee. The bee sends one out first to find out where the nectar is and then comes back to the hive. But the locusts have no leader. And what it means is that God is getting ready to take you someplace that no one has ever seen, heard, or experienced before. That is, no one can stand in your way of God's promises for you. So check this out. The Lord walked past the elephant and the lion and the buffalo, and the leopard, and the rhinoceros, and the monkey, and the fox, and the rabbit, and the frog, and he went way down into the bushes, and he found a little creature in the grasshopper family. A locust, if you've not ever seen one in person, is a straight-winged insect, and you must understand this about the locust. Though the locust travels for miles through the air, it cannot fly. If you're looking at the wings, you'll never see the strength, because the strength of the locust isn't in its wings. The strength is in its legs. And so the locust can't fly, but the locust can jump. So the second lesson from the locust is, you have to propel yourself to get into the promises of God. The locust scientifically can jump 200 times its height. So when it's ready to go somewhere, all it does is propel itself. But the success isn't that the locust can jump. The success is when it jumps. And so the locust is so smart that it waits until the wind blows. And when the locusts hear the gust of the wind, all the locust has to do is jump, and the wind will carry it for miles. I believe this morning that God wants us to listen out for the sound of the wind so that when we hear it, we can leap out of whatever circumstance we're in and let the wind carry us to a place of provision. See, when the wind blows, church family, you understand that I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a mighty gushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting." What it means is that when the Holy Ghost moves where you couldn't fly by yourself, if you leap into the anointing, that is the wisdom of the locust. Now, let me leave this in your spirits. The locust cannot navigate where it goes. The locust cannot fly against the wind. The locust cannot chart its own course or change its direction. And they travel in the direction of the wind, and wherever the wind blows, that's where you have to go. The wind blows the locust for miles. And if you learn to apply the mindset of the locust and only leap when the wind blows, the next wind that blows by you can blow you completely into the promises of God. So when the locusts jump in the wind, they travel without struggle. And it's not ability that gets the locust there, it's the power of the wind. And you should not propel yourself when the wind is not blowing. But when you hear the wind, leap high enough so that the wind will carry you, and when the wind begins to blow, it can blow you into your success. It can blow you into your healing. It can blow you into your calling. It can blow you into your promise. It can blow you into your provision. It can blow you out of depression. It can blow you into a new dispensation. Now catch this. If the wind blows and you don't jump, it means that God was trying to do something for you, but you were too low to get it. And it wasn't that God wasn't moving, you simply did not propel yourself into the wind. Some of you might be accustomed, when things go wrong, to call a pastor, a minister, or other spiritual leader and say, "Pray for me, the enemy is fighting me." But it's not always the enemy, my friends. Sometimes it's because we haven't heard the voice of the locust. The third lesson, and I'm at my close, is timing. For everything, there's a purpose, a season, a time. A purpose is eternal, and this is what God has in mind for your life. A season is your window to do it. Your time deals with earth, and you have to know when it's your time to do what. You cannot control the season, and you did not set the purpose, but the timing issue is something that you can impact. Can I show you something real quick? Sister Marilyn, would you do me a favor? I'm not looking at you, but will you get back on the organ and play "Great is Thy Faithfulness"? And as you're playing, I'm going to sing a version of it. And no matter how I'm singing and what beat I'm singing it to, I just want you to continue playing in the manner that you played it earlier. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. Did you all see what just happened? Thank you, Sister Glover, I appreciate it. Did you all just notice what happened? The timing was off. So while the song was being played one way, I sang it another way. And so here's the problem. You can't teach timing. Timing is something that you have to sense. And if you can't sense it, you'll miss it. And this is why the enemy sends sin into our lives, so that our senses will be dull and we will miss the timing of God. The devil can't stop your purpose and he can't stop your season, but he can stop your timing so that you're doing the right thing at the wrong time. And when it comes time for you to move ahead, you're stuck doing the wrong thing. It wasn't that I couldn't sing the words in alignment with the beat that the song was being played. It was just I did it at the wrong time. And so I don't want any of us to be like the masses of people who go to church week after week and they miss the wind because their senses are dull. I don't want any of us to miss what God has for us because we're not propelling ourselves. And I certainly don't want us to miss the promises of God because our timing is off. God has great things, and I mean tremendously great things in store. So wherever you are in today, whatever your need is today, I want you to know that God's got it. God's got healing for Stephen. God's got deliverance for the other prayer requests. God can make it happen. God can turn it around. God can do miraculous and great things because he is awesome. But I think if we listen to the lesson of the locusts, not only does that help us begin to combat anxiety, whether it be in your search or whether it be in other areas of your life, but I believe it is an instrument in order to tap into the promises of God. And not just read them, not just pray and forget about them, but actually live them in the land of the living. God, I thank you for the lesson of the locusts this morning. Thank you because you are so worthy to receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. I ask that you set up a rustling of trees so that even when we leave the sanctuary today, we can hear the wind. And thank you, God, for just even blowing the wind. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand that you will exalt us. We cast the whole of our cares on you. We roll our works upon you, Lord, and you make our thoughts agreeable to your will. So we walk in peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.